This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're with Anastasia and Warren, Joy 94.9.
Season 2 of the XPM kicks off tonight, 8:30pm on ABC TV. And the series is about ex-Prime Minister Andrew Dugdale, who recently published a well-received autobiography. It's made him popular again since winning a federal election on preferences only. In fact, Andrew Dugdale's popularity is so high that he's been called to stand for election in the marginal electorate of Murray-Darling Downs. Well, our extensive, well-resourced and unparalleled political team here at Joy 94.9 has managed to track down the ex-PM, played by Sean McAuliffe, during his busy campaign schedule. He's on the line, Sean McAuliffe. Good morning and welcome to Joy.
Warren, I'll answer to anything. McAuliffe.
The correct way to pronounce my name. Warren will tell you this if he's done his research.
I've done my research. Sean, with our recent history of short-term PMs, you know, we've got Gillard, Rudd, Abbott. Abbott last week saying climate change is good because people die from cold snaps. There must have been no shortage of material for a series about an ex-PM.
Well, I mean, you're quite right. When we did the first series, I was sort of taken by the fact that, you know, John Howard and Kevin Rudd sort of didn't really have anything to do, particularly John Howard. So that was what that series was about, just wandering around, going down the shops. But then something very strange happened. Before we went to air with the first series, Tony Abbott got rolled and he decided to stay on. And I'd never considered that an ex-Prime Minister would hang around as a backbencher. I mean, Rudd had been Foreign Minister, at least, after he was Prime Minister. But hanging around as a backbencher struck me as really interesting. So this whole series we're doing that starts tonight at 8:30 is inspired pretty much by Tony Abbott's, just his dogged resilience to hang on, even if it's as a backbencher. It's just quite phenomenal. I can't think of anybody else in history who, once having ruled the country, been a world leader, would be happy. I'm not sure he is happy, but he's still content at being a backbencher. It's quite astonishing.
It is astonishing. You've got the late John Clarke playing Andrew Dugdale's agent, Henry Coates, in the series. Now, that was obviously completed prior to his death. I imagine the cast have got mixed emotions about the premiere tonight on ABC.
Yeah, look, we're all looking forward to seeing John again. And I must say, when John passed away, we hadn't edited the show together. And we felt his loss very, very keenly. We would have felt it anyway. But of the fact that it was a couple of days, if that, after we actually wrapped, and we'd all... You tend to feel like you're a family when you're shooting and you're in close quarters like that. And he was such great company, and he was just unstintingly generous to everybody in terms of his time and advice, and as well as being fun to work with. But I wasn't relishing the prospect of editing. I just thought that would be a sad thing to have to go through. But to be honest with you, it was fun working with him again when we were editing it. And I think a lot of people will feel, not only in the cast, but just people generally who like John, when they see the series, they'll be really happy with it, because he's obviously really funny, but also he gets to act in a way that, maybe audiences haven't seen him do a lot of that sort of work since, say, Death in Brunswick. You know, he's a really good actor.
He is. Sean, can I just play you a little segment from Mad as Hell for earlier this year where you're talking about equal marriage?
Yeah. Sean, marriage is a very sacred institution.
Well, most people, and I'm sorry to interrupt again, but most people are not religious, though, according to the most recent census, are they?
Well, those that are mainly Christian, and the traditional view of marriage in the Bible is between...
Well, we're not talking about religious marriage, though, are we? You know, where you can pick and choose who you allow into the club. We're talking about state marriage, which really didn't become a thing until the Roman Empire.
But I just mean, I think it's important that we take into account what is traditional in marriage.
Well, in Roman law, the age of consent was 12, but that's changed over time, hasn't it? And without a plebiscite.
Yeah. Well, this affects all Australians.
Well, it only affects the gay ones.
Well, we had a plebiscite on the Republic, and that didn't just affect Republicans.
Yeah, I know, but if we have gay marriage, not everyone has to enter into a gay marriage, do they?
Sean, what does PM Dugdale think of the Marriage Equality Postal Survey?
His view is exactly the same as mine. He thinks it really is not a concern for people who don't want to get married to people of the same sex, and we should just, let everybody love each other as they want to. I'm happy to bend his character slightly so that it's slightly more progressive than you might think. But I was thinking about this the other day. I think the problem, because it's a semantic argument, ultimately, isn't it? I think even the people who oppose same-sex marriage are quite happy to give exactly the same rights to those who want to enter into a civil union, and that always strikes me as being weird. So they're really arguing over the use of the word marriage. It might be easier if we change the Marriage Act so that it's called something else. So, in other words, why don't we just call it the Barrage Act, and everybody can get
buried.
I think that'd be a nice way. Just get rid of the word for a while, because that seems to be the problem.
I like it.
Will you
bury me?
Yeah, bury me, darling. You know, I think it'll work. And if everybody just uses that word, then I don't think people are going to be so up in arms about the use of that word to same-sex marriage. That's my feeling. I'd like to float that, if I could, on Joy FM, just see what people think. Get rid of the word marriage just for a little while, and I think the problem will go away.
Now, your wife in the series, the ex-PM Catherine Dugdale, it's played by Nikki Wendt, and she fills her days with shopping, playing tennis, Pinot Grigio. I reckon she's Anastasia's type. She's a little bit narcissistic.
I love a narcissist.
I reckon Anastasia might be able to keep her out of your hair during the campaign trail. What do you reckon?
I think so. That sounds like a very good idea. I mean, I must admit, and to be absolutely fair to Andrew's wife, Catherine, is that this series, she really does step up a little bit. She is modelling herself absolutely slightly less on Anastasia and more on Melania Trump.
Damn.
But I think there might be a little bit of Melania and all first ladies. She's a piece of work. And Nikki's hilarious. And the great thing about doing a second series of anything, I think, is that you know who you're writing for when you sit down and put the scripts together. So Nikki made lots of suggestions, and we've got Kate Jenkinson as well. She made lots of suggestions for her character, and we've really run with those. So the cast is really, really comfortable with its characters.
Fantastic. And there's a couple of guest appearances. Vince Colosimo playing a billionaire, I see, and Frank Woodley, the butler.
Well, yeah, Vince and Frank are sort of living codependently. It's quite an interesting relationship. They're not two people you'd necessarily put together in that way, but they're hilarious together.
Sean, you've written three adult books, the latest being The President's Desk, I think, in 2014. And last week you released your first children's book titled Tales from a Tall Forest. And I like your press release because you said, and I quote, "Growing up, many of my early years were spent as a child." That's a pretty unique experience, isn't it?
Yes, I think so. Well, I'm happy to admit something like that, something very special, and I hope people can relate to that, the fact that I was once a child. And I do think that gives me a special insight into what it is that a child likes to read. Although, to be perfectly honest with you, I don't know what you guys remember from your childhood, but the books that I read when I was a kid were really, really important to me. You know, I thought, oh, well, this is the book. You know, this is the, you know, one or two of them. You know, and you keep them and you've still got them, and you insist your nieces and nephews or your kids read them as well. You know, that's a hard sell. But you sort of, part of me was thinking, well, if I invest in children, if I create something for children, they'll like it. They'll always like it. And when they grow up and become adults, they'll buy it for their own children. So, it's, you know, it's a good investment.
Sean McAuliffe, thank you so much for your time this morning and speaking with us on Joy.
All right. Thanks, guys. Cheers.
Thanks,
thank you. You can catch Sean in Series 2 of the XPM. It starts tonight, 8:30 p.m. on ABC TV or on iView.
Anastasia and Warren, Mondays, Thursdays and Fridays for breakfast on Joy.
And now available via podcast at joy.org.au, on iTunes or your favourite podcasting platform.
Joy 94.9, your voice, your radio station.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.